Welcome back to Podcast Radio. I'm Andy.
I'm Joe.
And I remember when we were talking about the Skinwalker Ranch episode, and those people would have those hitchhikers come back, you know, the spiritual hitchhiker. And the thing that is so weird is they'll see the dog men, you know, a lot of people. And when I read more of that article, it was like, then they went back even farther into the 70s when they were researching stuff like this with like psychics and things.
Oh, okay.
And those people would go home. The people that were working with the psychics, with the military and everything, they would go home and they would have weird encounters with spectral things. And it was all those were like orbs and UFOs. Mm-hmm. Like they would be in their house and a UFO shaped object would show up in the living room.
In the living room.
So I'm like, okay, good. That makes sense. It's like the whatever era it is, whatever is popular and talked about a lot, it seems that's what they were seeing, right? So, you know, in the 70s we had Close Encounters of the Third Kind and Bermuda Triangle was heating up and
right.
UFO mania, you know, basically a lot of alien stuff. No dogmen sightings, right? I didn't really even hear about that in the 80s. It was like not until the 90s and further on then you hear about it. So then the story that we were talking about, them seeing going to Skinwalker Ranch and stuff, that was like in the 2000s. And what are people seeing? Dogmen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like each era has its, what do they call them? Topas or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not yeah where they kind of, you can speak it into being.
And we've talked about that.
Yeah.
And that's maybe what they could relate to it.
Yeah.
How they could describe it.
Yeah.
Because if you took somebody from 200-300 years ago, saw something now, how would they describe what they saw now?
Uh-huh.
What they could relate to it.
Yeah.
So it'd be, yeah, I see your point.
Yeah.
So exactly. And they haven't talked a lot about that. So I was recently in Lincoln County, National Forest area. And so I love the whole Billy the Kid thing.
Oh, okay.
I like all the bad, I always like the bad guys.
Oh, yeah.
Which they're talking about rewriting history of that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that to hear recently. If they can get the current governor of New Mexico to pardon him because evidence has showed up that he was not the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. And then they have to change everything from making him look like the bad guy to making him the hero in this. But no one wants to make the guy that stands up against the government or mm-hmm. the money.
The tycoons that are building the railroads and wanting to steal land and all that stuff.
Nobody wants to make them the good guy.
Yeah.
Ever. So I've always liked that kind of stuff. So, of course, when digging into this, you always find a lot of stuff about the Native Americans, the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across, every state has so many different reservations and their tribes and whatnot. And I've got to go on certain reservations before. I have been on some in California. I've been in some in El Paso area. But they're all so different. And I've always been fascinated with their traditions, what they do, how they believe. And whilst digging, just goofing off, looking at a few things, I came across what they call the Cheyenne Dog Soldier, which just kind of, and what caught my attention first, and I have to say, was the picture.
Oh.
I'm not a word kind of guy. Show me pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And man, if you've not seen this, Google this thing up, the Cheyenne Dog Soldier. It is probably one of the most intimidating warriors I've ever seen.
So it's a human.
Uh-huh. It's a human.
And he's wearing
ton of feathers in his
His
head, and then he's adorned with all these weapons. I mean, this dude's got like six shooters all through his like chest and his bow, and I mean, don't mess with the
dude. He's like a pirate.
Yeah.
Tons of muskets all across his chest, like one shot, pull out, boom, boom,
tons
boom.
Tons of weaponry. Yeah. I mean, these guys were like no joke. So I started kind of looking into them and everything else, and I could see why they were hated so much. Because these guys were like impossible to kill. I'll tell you.
Are they like Green Berets of their day?
You know,
like, yeah.
they were the dirty ones that go in and do what nobody else could do.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of cool. Turns out the story that goes with it, there was a guy from Ohio from a newspaper in October the 27th of 1867. He was covering some negotiations at a medicine lodge, and he wrote, "The awesome warriors were armed to the teeth with revolvers and bows, proud, haughty, defiant, as should become those who are to grant favors, not beg them." That was his like whole take. It's mm-hmm. like you gotta hold these guys to a higher, you know, I don't know, perception of just being an average. Oh, this is our medicine man, or this is our hunter, this is our gatherer.
Right.
This is a guy that comes in and just like, yeah.
If you see this guy,
you're done.
You don't. You want to leave town.
So yeah. So apparently, the story goes that these guys would basically come and get these prophets, or these medicine men would seek the great prophet to say, send, like, let me start my own gang type mm-hmm. thing. And this one guy, nobody wanted to jump on his. It gets weird. So he sat there and he just kind of bummed out. The whole village is like laughing at him and kind of scoffing at him because nobody would join his little posse or anything like that. So while he sang, so the guy went at sunset and he began to sing a sacred song. While he sang, the people noticed that now and then the large and small dogs throughout the camp whined and howled and were restless. The people in their lodges fell asleep. The man sang from sunset to midnight. Then he began to wail. The people were all sleeping in their lodges and did not hear him. Again, he sang. Then he walked down the opening of the camp circle, singing as he went. At the opening of the camp circle, he ceased singing and went out. All the dogs in the whole camp followed him, both male and female, carrying in their mouths their puppies. Four times he sang before he reached his destination at daybreak. As the sun rose, he and all the dogs arrived at the river bottom, which was partly timbered with a level. The man sat down by the tree, leaned toward the north. Immediately, all the dogs ran from him and arranged themselves in the form of a semicircle about him, like the shape of a camp circle. They had left. Then they lay down to rest as the dogs lay down. By some mysterious power, they sprung up over the mane in the center of the circle of the lodge. The lodge included the leaning tree by which where the man sat. This is a guy trying to start his own little deal here.
Yeah.
And there were three other saplings trimmed at the base with the bows left at the top. The lodge was formed with the skins of the buffalo. As soon as the lodge appeared, all the dogs rushed towards it, and they entered the lodge and turned into humans. So that's the story, that they turned into human beings, dressed like members of the Dogmen Society. The Dogmen began to sing, and the man listened very attentively and learned several songs from them, their ceremony, and their dancing forms. So that's the beginning of this.
Mm-hmm. So the origin of Dogmen.
Their origin. So they started off. So do you have a skinwalker, shapeshifter? Mm-hmm. I don't know. More, I guess, your shapeshifter. I used to watch a show on TV. It was basically like a cops type show, but on the res.
Oh, okay.
And it was a coolest show because the guy's getting ready for work, and he's putting on his bulletproof vest and his gear and getting ready to go on patrol. And he says, you know, we don't just pray for our son, you know, he's going to go out and do a dangerous job. We don't pray for his safety in the physical, but in the spiritual too. So there's like this cleansing thing around him. So this cat, or this guy, is not to confuse him with a real cat, because we're talking about
animals. Yeah.
But this guy goes out, gets to a house, and they're far away, the houses are, their calls are. So he gets to the house, and he says, we got a call about a shapeshifter. Now, if this were not in the res, people would dismiss this call and say, yeah, it's crazy, or they're not real, they're mm-hmm. just making stuff up, or go get them checked out. But because where we're at, what we know, it's a real call to us.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, this is kind of interesting. So he shows up on the call, lady comes out and says, you know, he came out and he's doing all this stuff around here, and he took off running by that tree line. And as he's running through, he changed and he appears as a big dog. So what does this cop do? He's like, okay. He walks to his unit, takes off his rig belt, everything else, just leaves his t-shirt and his pants on, and he takes off running into that tree line.
Mm-hmm.
Several days later, this dude comes out with that guy in handcuffs at that same tree line. He caught him. he tracked that dude down and brought him back. And I'm thinking, what the heck kind of shift is that?
Yeah.
Talk about overtime. But I mean, geez, he went and he got the dude. He, it took him some time, but he went and got him. So they have their own ways of doing things completely. So I thought, okay, so what is this about these guys that was so crazy? So more about these dog soldiers. Their uniform consisted of a bonnet covered with upright feathers of birds of prey. So just regular birds, had to be a specific
bird. Yeah, like one that hunts and kills stuff.
Yeah, the cool ones.
Yeah.
A whistle suspended from a thong around the neck and made of the wing bone of an eagle. Leggings, breech, clout, and moccasins. The belt was made of the four skunk skins. The dog soldiers carried a bow and arrows, and a rattle shaped like a snake was used to accompany their songs. They had one chief and seven assistants, of whom four were leaders in battle, chosen on account of their extraordinary courage. These four wore an additional to their uniform, a sash over the right shoulder, and some other things around them, so kind of distinguished them, rank and file.
Yeah.
So the society was a secret ritual that occupies 4 days and has a series of 400 songs used in its ceremonies and dances. It was often called upon to perform police duties in a large camp and enjoyed certain privileges in the tribe, such as the right to kill any fat dog whenever a feast was in order.
That's crazy that, and you said they had police duties. Tell the police story about this guy's like, oh, okay. Which makes you think like he's trained, like that tradition has continued.
Right.
Even though he's a police officer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's kind of weird because in this article, it mentioned a lot of policing. So the powers of a warrior society in doing, here we go, police duty were great, and their punishments severe against those who violated camp regulations. Not infrequently, they whipped delinquents with quartz, beat them with clubs, or killed their ponies. So, I mean, they're not just going to impound your car or take you to jail. They're
going
to beat you and kill your horse. Like, man, these guys weren't playing around. For small offenses, they might cut up a man's robe, break his lodge poles, or slash his teepee cover. So they just vandalize your stuff if you act up. They had a change of tribal buffalo hunt and saw to all the rules. So they basically had the first hunt of everything. Mm-hmm. You got the perks. So they prevented any individual hunting until after the needs of the camp had been supplied. So it brought balance. The way I could see that.
Yeah.
So in all this part in through here, I mean, there's countless interactions where they were involved with high up meetings. They were kind of there at certain council. But then it was like, then it turned the script. Now everybody's going after these guys to kill them. So at this time, the dog soldiers were friendly. But the tactlessness of General Winfield Hancock soon drove them to hostility. He apparently knew nothing of Indians and insisted upon dealing only with Roman Nose, who thought, though a very prominent warrior, was not a chief at all. When General Hancock attacked the Cheyenne, succeeded in getting away with their usual ease, leaving their village to be burned and only Indians killed, were six of them in this. So six of those Indians were killed, while yet 1,400 of his guys were killed.
Mm.
So when the fight broke out, 1,400 of their dudes were killed and six of the Indians were killed. But only at that point, only two hostiles were the Indians. So they call it hostile. So four were just Indians. Two were part of the dog soldiers.
Wow.
So out of 1,400 dudes killed, the odds of that. You're talking about these guys are like swatting everybody else.
How do they don't describe how they killed all those guys either, huh?
No. Basically, I picture them as old school John Wick. I mean, they're just coming through, boom, boom, killing everybody else. I mean, they got multiple weapons. If you look up their pictures, how they look, it's just they're armed.
Yeah, but also I wonder, like, if there was, like, some kind of, like, chemical warfare too, you know, could they have thrown something in area? Obviously it's not 1,400 guys all camped out in one area, right? You're talking about over a long period of time.
This was in that one battle, that one interaction that they had there.
Like, could they come up with some kind of hallucinogen they throw out there that they're immune to, and these guys, you know, are killing themselves?
They could be.
You know what I mean?
They were considered medicine men. There's your picture of these guys. I'd have to walk up on that dude.
No.
And him just tell you, go pick up your TV, buddy.
Yeah.
Yes, officer. I'll do exactly what you want me to. So I was kind of fascinated by them. But, you know, here's the problem I had with this. And I've kind of just read a few bits and pieces of things in there. How much of that was really true?
Mm-hmm.
We're reading the story, the account given to us in a history account, book, article. I'd like to know their side. Like what, like you said, yeah. How were they killed? What happened? Now, they did say the tides were turned and things happened, but who caused what? We've had incidences in our lifetime that police and justice turns into riots and it breaks out all kinds of crazy behavior. But what happened there? I mean, how did they just eliminate a whole?
Yeah, how just that little bit. That's why I would have to make a story in my head that would make sense. Like some hallucinogens, you know, lighten some weed and medicine on fire, a medicine thing, throw it in the camp while they're sleeping.
Right.
And then, you know, alert them after it's been going off for a while. They wake up and they're like high. They're killing each other. They're seeing things that they, you know, are the army guys are hallucinating, or they get them bottlenecked in a cavern and cause a rock slide, you know, some way to kill lots of guys at once. Yeah,
that's true.
That's what I would think of.
And I think they still exist somehow in there. I mean, I know the res gets a bad reputation. And, you know, if we have a listener who lives on the res, man, email us. I'd love to hear what you know about this or something similar in your tribe, because I think they got the coolest untold stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always, the murmur of the movie Thunderheart with Val Kilmer.
Mm-hmm.
That was so cool because it was kind of two worlds trying to merge and becoming issues, and he had to make a decision. And that's what we have to do, is what we're going to believe in.
Yeah, like that lady who was on the reservation, she says, yeah, he ran through there and he turned into whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that guy could be, you know how the medicine men say there are people that practice the black part of it.
Right.
Okay. So, well, then the reservation Indian guy obviously doesn't practice that. So it's like the guy that practices, I don't know if you call it the white magic. He's like, oh, okay. I totally understand. I'm going after a guy who maybe dabbles in that, and he can make other people think they're seeing something that they're actually not. They're seeing like a spiritual force field of a creature or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's projecting something.
Exactly. Because where did these guys come from? It says that they just were in their chanting and everything. They just morphed.
Yeah.
So these guys were not just your average, you know, run-of-the-mill guy in the tribe or in the area. They, according to this, but then again, what magic or what dark side of this was used to bring some of this? So at the last part of this here, the summary of all this, the Cheyenne Dog Soldiers will perhaps give some idea of the important part played by this organization in many victories and hard-fought battles of the most warlike of the Plains tribes. Only a much more detailed narration could give any proper idea of the splendid courage. So again, we don't know. Often in the face of overwhelming odds displayed by members of the organization times without number, let's see, he gives some stats in battle, whether against United States troops, Mexicans, or other Indian tribes, but this brief enumeration of the principal engagements of the Dog Soldiers may help to explain how it was that the United States government, in its campaigns against the Cheyenne, spent $1 million and lost 24 lives for every Cheyenne killed.
Yeah.
So it was a big project. $1 million back then.
Oh, yeah.
And then for every one of those they got, they lost a couple dozen men. So I'd like to know more. If somebody knew more about that other than what's going to be told in just accounts to say this was truly what they were trained to do.
Yeah, if they have like oral history, you know, is that even passed down anymore to this generation, or does that generation even care to capture it, you know? seems like.
Right.
You would think, no, they probably don't. There's probably very few that want to, you know, keep that alive nowadays. But yeah, that'd be cool. Man, there's so many reservations around, like, New Mexico, Arizona, the Dakotas, and stuff like that. So who knows if anybody had a story or something they'd like to share. Podcast13@gmail.com. And continue to like, subscribe, and share. Until next time.